Welcome, everyone. It's really hard to be on the call when we have multiple demands on our time with children at home who need to be taken care of, finding childcare for them. So your time is really precious. So thank you, everyone, for taking the time out of your lives to think about what I believe is the most important job on this planet. It really is. And it takes a lot to juggle everything that we all have to do to do the parenting work, leave alone then join this teleseminar. So thanks for being here. My name is Usha Sangam. I am a certified instructor. I'm also a consultant. I also happen to be the program manager with Hand in Hand. And another piece of background that I have that's relevant to this topic is that I've been in the school system. I've taught in the school system. I'm also a math tutor. I've homeschooled my daughter. And I'm also now just starting a new second job at a school. So it's a transition for me. I'm going back to school as well, interestingly enough. So, so I've got a bunch of different experiences around going to school and topics surrounding going to school. So it's a pleasure to have you here on this call. There are many parents who are registered for this call, so I'm just going to start off by talking a little bit about Hand in Hand so that people can settle in into the call as they join the call. Hand in Hand is a non-profit organization based in California. We have instructors all around the world and many, many thousands of hours of real-life experience working with parents and children, especially done by Patty Whipler, who founded the organization in 1989, had a different name then. But across the whole world, we have many instructors with lots and lots of real-life experience with these tools. Hand in Hand has a real huge variety of ways to support parents really well. We have lots and lots of free articles on the website. We have booklets that talk about this approach in detail. We have podcasts of teleseminars like this one that are available for sale on the website. We have we offer one-on-one support through consultations. There are self-guided classes that are called the Parent Rescue Series. There are instructor-led classes. Our core class is called Building Emotional Understanding. It's a six-week-long class, which I would highly recommend to everyone, but I would start off with all these other resources, get familiar. We also have classes for professionals, therapists and nurses and psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors and all sorts of professionals who work with children and with parents, who can find this information really helpful. We have an online discussion group that supports parents everywhere around the world, every day. We have an inspiring blog with lots of great stories from parents who are using this approach. And you can find all of this on our website, handinhandparenting.org. And hopefully the new version of this, which has been around now for a year, the website, makes it easier for you to find these resources. So Hand in Hand's mission is to support parents and to provide parents with the insights and skills that parents need to listen to and to connect with their children in such a way that it allows each child to really, really thrive. Hand in Hand's vision is a world that really supports the hard, hard work of parenting and fosters meaningful personal connections to move us towards a beautiful world, a peaceful world, a sustainable world. There are a few core beliefs that support Hand in Hand's mission. The first one is that children thrive when they have a warm and physical and emotional bond with their parents. Lots of hugging, lots of smiles, lots of goofing around. Parents also want to be close to their children, love them, and see them thrive. That's the second belief. A third belief is that feeling disconnected and stressed causes both children and parents to have what we call off-track behavior. Our tempers flare, we feel disconnected, and connection breaks down. A fourth belief is that listening is a really key strategy to build connection. Listening is not just parent to child, but also parent to parent. It conveys deep respect and creates enough safety over time to dissolve the emotional tensions that disrupt caring relationships. Listening is one of the most well-kept secrets in communication, I guess. We could put it that way. We talk about how to speak. We talk about how to communicate. But really, listening is the most important part of communication. When parents listen well and set limits well, paying attention to children's feelings in the process, children instinctively offload their negative feelings and they gain back a strong sense of connection and good thinking and good judgment. A good listener can really help parents feel less isolated and stressed. And with genuine support for the hard work of parenting, parents can strengthen their connection with their children and repair it when the stress has come in the way. This approach, finally, the last point I want to add here, is this approach to parenting has an even bigger impact than just the relationship, building a good relationship between parent and child. When parents connect with one another to build a support system that helps them solve problems and engage in communities, they inspire everyone around them by being agents of change. We're not just impacting our own small spheres of, you know, our families, but when people watch us, we don't even have to speak sometimes. When people watch how we are with our children, we're creating a huge impact that way in our communities. Supporting connected parenting is a really powerful way to reduce all kinds of hurt and harm in the lives of individuals and families and communities. So we really encourage you to reach out for the support that you may need for your own parenting so that you and your child can really thrive on this deep love that you have for each other. Parenting is not easy work, and it should never have to be done in isolation. I firmly believe that every parent must be reached out to and supported right from the beginning, right from before they have children. It is, I think, the most important job on this planet. And it has to be treated with that level of deep reverence and respect for that job. Parenting by connection, this approach, the parenting by connection approach, is based on this whole set of core set of beliefs. And so today's topic, helping your child head back to school, is informed by this approach and the beliefs that govern this approach. So if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, your children have had a nice, long, wonderful summer. They've been, you know, going to the beach and having fun and playing out in the local parks. Some schools might have started, where some schools are just about to start. Or if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, then all of this will be relevant, even if the children have had a short break during the winter months, because they are having, you know, they've had a nice, cozy time at home. Now it's time to get back into the cold and back to school. Or if your child is having a major transition in some manner, there's all kinds of transitions. There's transition from going from home to preschool, home to kindergarten, preschool to kindergarten, going to middle school, going to high school, going from one school to another in the same district, or moving across schools, you know, moving across the, you know, the country and changing schools as a result, not only losing your old school, but all of your friends as well. There's a lot of changes that can happen when you go from one school to another. It can be big, it can be small, but every change comes with it, with every change comes a bunch of feelings that children experience. And actually, not just children, but we as parents go through those feelings ourselves, as one of our listeners earlier was talking about. So the other thing that could be happening, and we just talked about transitions, going from a known to an unknown situation, essentially. But the other thing that could have happened is perhaps your child had a really difficult experience last year and is afraid to go back to school. Or they've heard something about school and are wondering what's going on. So, you know, they could have had some difficulties with relationships or with learning, or perhaps they experienced bullying, or perhaps they had not the best fit in terms of groups of friends and the classroom itself. Sometimes the right connection needs to be built, and every relationship between child and teacher can vary from year to year. One teacher might be just the right fit, the other teacher might not be. But despite the situation, hand-in-hand offers tools, whatever the situation is, hand-in-hand offers tools that allow you to work through whatever that situation is. You can then figure out how to respond to that situation. You can figure out whether you want to move through that same situation, stay with the situation and work through the feelings, or to change the situation, whatever that may be. But you get to make those decisions, and the tools that hand-in-hand offers are amazing in helping you work through that process. So the first thing I want to say, I want to address one of the listeners who talked about making having to go through the process of making a decision about what school to go to. So that's one type of decision that you have to make. Or perhaps you yourself had a difficult experience when you were a child, going from one school to another, and you're now faced with the prospect of having to send your child from one school to another. Or perhaps you had a difficult transition going into kindergarten or going into high school, whatever the transition is, or if you had a bad experience in school, your feelings are now going to come into play here. So what Hand in Hand tells you is that if we are able to take care of our feelings, we'll be in a much, much better position to help our children go through these kinds of transitions, go through the process of getting back to school. So let's talk about what that means. How do you take care of yourself? You know, when you've had a chance to talk about your friend, your feelings to a friend, that can feel really, really good. Why does that feel good? It feels good because your friend knows you and cares about you and really paid attention to your feelings, and really, you know, a really good friend probably didn't advise you, didn't share what you shared with anybody else. Well, we actually have a process that is quite formal that allows you to go through that in a formal way and experience an even deeper release of feelings that you might have felt than what you might have felt sharing with a friend. And we call that listening partnerships. Listening partnerships are a very, very important part of parenting by connection. It is actually a unique aspect of parenting by connection. So what does that mean? What exactly happens in a listening partnership? We have lots of details about that in our classes that we can talk. If you go to take any of our classes, you'll hear more about it. So I'll go into it very briefly here. What it means is that you and a partner, you can decide who that partner is. Ideally, someone you don't know at a social level, someone you've come across perhaps as an acquaintance, or someone you've come across through one of our classes, but someone who's willing to make that same agreement as you are to go through this formal process. And what exactly is that process? So what you do here is you take, let's say, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, during which you get a chance to talk about exactly what's on your mind. And the other person simply listens to you, does not give you any advice, does not immediately respond by saying, oh, that happened to me, I know exactly what that feels like. Because any such response can actually be distracting to you when you're talking about your feelings. So a really good friend, a really good listener is not going to distract you from your own feelings. And the process of releasing all those feelings can be such a relief to you. So during that entire time, you're sharing your feelings and the other person is simply listening. They're not going to judge you, and they're not going to offer advice, and they're certainly going to keep it confidential. They're also not going to judge anybody else you talk about. You know, when let's say you have a really loving relationship with a great friend, and you just want, something happened and something to upset that relationship temporarily, and you just need to let off a little steam without having somebody else think that that person was really not a good person or anything like that. You want them to think the best of the other person too, because you do care about that person. But you just want to have a chance to release your feelings. So you can do that and know that in a listening partnership that no one is going to be judged. Neither you are going to be judged, nor is anyone you're going to talk about is going to be judged. So listening partnerships can be really, really, really helpful. Let me see. I remember when I had to make some decisions about schooling for my daughter, I went through quite a bit of change. There was a lot of changes happening in our household at that time, and big decisions to be made about whether or not to send her to one school or another, or to start homeschooling. But what really helped me was to go through, have that opportunity to release my feelings with listening partners who were willing to, you know, just let me say whatever I had to say, have me talk about all my fears. And it was such a relief to know that, you know, there's someone I can count on, someone who's not going to judge me for not being sure of what I needed to do, or not, you know, we all go through times when you're unsure about what to do. And it helps to have someone who understands what that's like. And I don't know, I wanted to invite Maya. Since Maya, you're on the call, I'm going to unmute you to see if you have anything you would like to add in terms of this experience. Maya? You're on right now.
Usha, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, I'm not in a place where I can have it unmuted for now, but no, I will be towards the end of the call.
Okay, well, I'll unmute you at that point, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, yeah. Maya is one of our instructors, and it was nice to see that she was on the call. I'm sure she'll have wonderful things to add as well. So thanks, Maya, for being on the call, but I'll continue right here. So listening partnerships are a very, very important, you know, way of releasing the feelings that we might have that allow us. And so you can then, let me just talk about the brain first a little bit, a tiny bit here, not too much. You know, when you're really feeling upset, it's really hard to make good decisions. So having a chance to release all those upsets allows the limbic system, which is the part of the brain that has emotions, to calm down, and then allows the prefrontal cortex to engage, which is the part of the brain that makes good decisions, is intelligent. It's the seat of intelligence. It makes, it has good, you know, you're able to have good judgment and make good plans and think well. So just in a nutshell, having that understanding about the brain allows us to recognize that when we have big feelings, it helps us. It helps us if we take care of the feelings first before we move on to figure out what to do next. So that's number one, taking care of our feelings. The second thing that I think I would emphasize here is recognizing that our children are going through big changes themselves. They are trying to figure out, oh, my gosh, I'm going to kindergarten. Oh, my gosh, I don't know what that's going to be like. I've been home all this while. They're not able to articulate all this, of course, but that's what's going through their minds. There's a sense of loss. They're going to be separated from their parents. And they have, let's say they're moving from one school to another. There's this loss of, I don't have my friends anymore. What am I going to do? How am I going to make new friends? Oh, my gosh, last year was such a hard experience. What am I going to do this year? How am I going to deal with all these relationship difficulties that I had? Last year's math was so hard. How am I going to do this year's math? So all of these big feelings are kicking up for your children. So there's fear, there's anxiety, and there's just a sense of, I don't know what it's going to be like. So there's a couple things that I would recommend. One is special time. So when your child is feeling this sense of uncertainty about what school is going to be like, guess what their morning is going to be like? They're not going to want to get out of bed. They're not going to want to put on their shoes, not going to want to get dressed, eat breakfast, none of that. So how do you get them out of bed? How do you get them to go to school when you know school has specific start times? You know, it would be nice if schools didn't have start times, but that's how the world operates, right? So we need to get our children into school at specific times of the day. How do you do that? So one really simple tool that we have that really helps with this is called special time. Special time has an enormous, it has a huge benefit here. It allows you to build your connection with your child in a way that nothing else can. because during this entire time that you devote towards special time, let's say you decide it's 10 minutes long, during this entire 10-minute period or perhaps a half-hour period, you're giving 100% of your attention to your child. Your child gets to do what he or she wants to do. You follow the lead. And if your child wants to run around and chase you, you get to fall down and pretend that you're the one who's less powerful, and let the child have a laugh in the process if necessary. And so that runs into another tool that we call play listening. If it turns into play listening, that's great, but special time can simply be as simple as your child wants you to sit down while and watch them draw something. During that entire time, your child knows that your attention is on him or on her. And that whole sense of connection that might have been lost for whatever reason, you know, our lives are very, very busy. Connection can be so easily broken. So if children know that we're paying attention, they know immediately that we care. And the trust is rebuilt, connection is rebuilt. And it's like filling the cup of love. And the more you fill it, the easier everything becomes. So special time can work wonders, especially in the morning. And I want to share a story from one of our instructors who shared how they use special time in the morning. So this instructor has a 5-year-old son and who was very frightened about going to school. He had a bad dream, didn't really want to go to school, couldn't find his shoes or anything he needed to go to school. And so this instructor, you know, the first reaction we can all have sometimes is, oh, you know, we need to be going right now. And you know, the idea that things need to get done. So she had the temptation to be stern and persuasive, but, you know, she knew it was not going to work because she had been using special time and she had seen the difference in how that worked. So she decided she was going to use special time instead. She felt very hesitant. There was not a lot of time, and it does take time to do special time. But actually, even just a few minutes, something like 3 minutes, can go a long way. So she decided that instead of taking the time to get herself dressed and brush her own teeth, she would focus and use that time to get her son ready by giving him special time. So she was in her pajamas, and she decided to give him special time. And what did he want to do? He wanted to play soccer indoors, inside the house. So, you know, she had been instead hoping for something cuddly and sweet, and she didn't really want to put out that kind of energy. It takes energy to do soccer. But that's what her son wanted, and she had, you know, gotten used to the idea of doing special time, had been practicing it for some time, and so she went right into it. And within just a few minutes, this little boy was now no longer scared. The bad dream was gone, and he was this little confident little boy who had already put on his shoes because he played with his shoes on, and he got everything ready, and very soon he was laughing and gulping down his breakfast, and they went to school. And this time she went without her regular clothes on. She instead had her pajamas on. And apparently all the kids at school loved that. So that turned out to be a great success as well, that she wore her pajamas to school. So that's a simple little example of how special time can be really handy when it comes to getting ready to go to school. Another really great time to use special time is after school. So imagine that first day, your child goes to school and comes back, and you're tempted to ask, so what happened? How was school? Did you make new friends? And your child has come back home, either very happy and everything's gone well, or let's say your child went there and really didn't make any friends that first day and has a sort of a withdrawn look on his face or her face. So instead of trying to get information out of your child, focus on offering special time and being delighted. You know how when dogs greet you when you come back home, they wag their tails and they're so delighted to meet us? Imagine if we were just as delighted and have a big broad smile, greet them when we go to pick them up and open our arms wide and just give them a nice big hug and say, I'm so glad to see you again today. and just smile and not really ask anything about school and let it wait and go back home, do some special time, read about special time. There's a lot of resources online. You can read about special time and start practicing that at home. It's very, very simple. So you go and offer some special time, and then off you go, and suddenly you'll find the child is feeling more connected, and they'll start talking. It's funny how kids start talking if you just give them a little time and not ask too many questions. They'll just open up, and you just have to sit back and listen. And there were many times when I remember when my daughter was in elementary that we would come back home, do special time, and what she really wanted to do all the time was wrestle. She wanted to wrestle. She wanted to wanted me to be a bouncing machine, which really meant that she was going to bounce on top of me. And this was a 9 or 10 year old at that time, and she was quite heavy, and it was incredible how I managed to put up with it. But I managed somehow, and we had a great time. And there were times when I remember when I wasn't really in the mood for it. I didn't really want to do it at all. It was too much energy. But once we got into it, within a couple of minutes, I got into the groove and my own mood lifted. So that's another really nice side effect that can happen if your children are ready to do something fun. They want you to join in. And if you join in, suddenly your own mood lifts as well. That's a nice side effect. But the point is, through special time, your child is now starting to feel more connected and they'll start opening up more and more. And I remember that particular year, my daughter was a whole lot more cooperative after we started doing special time at home after school. She was a lot more cooperative in helping me with things that needed to get done, chores that we would do together. So it no longer felt like a horrible task. It felt like fun. Whenever you do anything like that together, it's much easier than telling your child, oh, go there and put your clothes away now. Instead, you can just go and say, hey, let's do it together. So I'm digressing a bit, but the point is that your time with your child when you use special time can be really, really powerful. So if they had a really difficult day at school, special time can help unwind through that day and allow them to give you a chance to share what happened. They may or may not share what happened, but if they do, then you get some insight. And if they don't share, then at least they've had a chance to unwind. So either way, something good has come out of that special time. And over time, they get more and more close to you and they start sharing more and more. So special time is a really, really powerful tool. If you have to take away two things from this call today, I would say listening partnerships and special time are number one and number two. Take care of yourself. Take care of your child. Those are the two things you can do. Trust in yourself. Know your feelings. And when your child tells you something, rather than dismiss it and think, oh, you know, that's easy, you're going to get through it, no problem, just pay attention to those feelings your child has. And we call that stay listening as well. So if there's big feelings that are coming up for your child, just pay attention to those feelings. Stay there, get in close, and listen carefully to see if you can allow those feelings to come pouring out. And there's a lot more that we can share about stay listening. But there's a specific story that comes to mind for me regarding a child I was tutoring once. He had some big struggles with math one day, and it was a big it was a really easy problem for him. He was a sensitive little boy. He came to me for math tutoring, and I had some specific problems for him to solve, but he didn't want to do that. He was distracted by a puzzle that I had. And so he was getting more and more frustrated because he wasn't able to solve the puzzle. He kept saying, this is impossible to solve. I can't do it. Why is it so hard? So I sat and stayed with him and I listened to his feelings and said very few things, but, you know, gentle words like, I'm so sorry, this is so hard for you. And after a few minutes, I said, let's put this away and let's get some math done. But he kept insisting that he had to do that puzzle. And so now I knew it was time to set a limit. And so I did. And at that point, his frustration turned into anger. He said, how could anyone invent something like this that no one can solve? They should not make such inventions. Nobody should make such inventions. No one should ever be allowed to make such inventions. I'm going to take a pair of scissors and cut this up and smash this puzzle to the ground. And he was so upset. He finally sat down and, you know, he collapsed onto the floor. He started crying and really, really hard. And he was completely distraught. It was really heartbreaking to watch him go into such big feelings. And he started talking about his own existence. Why is something wrong with me? Why is everything so difficult for me? He was a very, very, very sensitive child. He had had a bunch of difficulties. There was a birth trauma he had gone through. So lots of things were really hard. But he was a very intelligent boy. So I knew he was very capable. But big emotions were coming in the way of having him do the work he needed to do. So soon he stopped crying, but he wasn't ready for the math. So we ended up doing something to this, to, you know, something else for a little while, and we came back to the math. But and he was finally ready to engage, and it was amazing what he was able to do. It took him very little time to work through the concepts. And I didn't have to offer any second explanations. He grasped everything right away. He was so focused. It was unbelievable. It was like night and day. And he ended up engaging with me in a really deep and thoughtful conversation about how people should listen to each other, and listen to children in particular, no matter what age they are, because children have important things to say. It's so true. He talked about being in a world where everything was free, where no one would have to work to earn a living, where everyone would just share what they had with other people. He talked about equality, boys and girls were equal, that it was unconstitutional to have books written just for boys versus girls. And I was really, really honored that he would share some, he was sharing all of that deep feeling and his deep thoughts with me. I felt really special that day. So that was the power of stay listening. And this is a child who was very intelligent, but he was having these big emotional struggles. So going back to school, if your child had a difficult experience in the previous year and is struggling with the idea of going back to school, you've done a lot of special time, you've taken care of yourself, but when your child comes back upset after the first few days, pay attention to your child's feelings. If there's homework to be done and he's having difficulty, you can't really force him to do the homework. What you can do is set the limit by saying, sweetheart, it's time to do the homework. But you can't, without necessarily thrusting the homework in front of him, just hold the limit and say, it's time to do the homework. The very idea of having to do homework will set off these big feelings. He's going to have these big release, and you sit there and you listen to those feelings. So that aspect of how we use parenting by connection is called setting limits. So all of these different tools, and there's one more called play listening, and we touched upon it very lightly. There's a lot more that's written about it. Patty Whipler has wonderful booklets that she's written about it. So I would encourage you to look at our resources and think about how you can use them all together in concert to help your children go through any kind of transition they might need to go through, whether it's going through from kindergarten to middle to first grade, or from middle school to high school, from one school district to another, moving across the country, struggling with difficult relationships and moving through that, whatever it is, you can use these tools. They're really amazing tools. And I would like to invite Maya, if you are now positioned to do this. Maya, are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What would you like to add here?
Yeah, so I thought I could just mention kind of how efficient the tool of special time can be, especially when you incorporate it into the morning routine, like you were mentioning. And I think it can feel totally unrealistic when you think about kind of setting aside 10 or 15 minutes to pay undivided attention to your child, to kind of follow their lead, to play what they want to play, you know, especially if already the morning routine is contentious and you're kind of frazzled with all the things that you need to do. So I wanted to just sort of talk about my experience with using special time in the morning routine in a way that ended up being really effective and efficient. So I have an 8-year-old daughter, and towards the beginning of second grade, our morning routine just kind of started to go off the rails, and I was having less and less patience with kind of the constant reminders that I needed to give to get everything done before my daughter was ready to head out the door, and it just became just an unpleasant and kind of stressful start to most of the days for both of us. So, one of the things that, that I had heard was helpful was actually to incorporate, 5 minutes of special time first thing in the morning before you do anything else, to just go in and kind of connect first off, and that really kind of sets the tone for the morning so that people aren't kind of trying to connect over all of these logistics that need to get done. It's like you meet that emotional need, first thing, and things go really smoothly after that. So we actually did that for a period of time, and that was definitely helpful. But what I actually found was even more helpful is to, for us anyway, was to set up that we were going to do 5 minutes of special time after the whole morning routine was done. My daughter was finished with kind of all the logistics, and we were just going to do that for the 5 minutes before she hopped in the car to go off to school. And so what we ended up doing kind of during that time was just playing catch with some kind of ball. It was, we had, 10 different kinds of balls, and every day it was something different, and it was really only for 5 minutes, but giving my daughter a chance to kind of look forward to that and have it be something that was totally different from all of the tasks and chores and things we needed to remember. We just knew that there was that period that was kind of only about connection, that was going to happen after all of that was done. And so that just totally transformed our mornings. It was 5 minutes, but it really meant that she was much more focused on kind of all the things that needed to be done, and we kind of left each other in the morning after having this connection time. So I just think special time is just really super powerful. So I'm glad that you've really focused on that just an incredible tool in making that transition. Yeah,
thank you for sharing that, Maya. That's wonderful. Isn't it amazing? Special time is so simple, and yet it can be so powerful. You might have heard some people call this floor time. Just if you're with young children, you sit down on the floor and do whatever they're doing. If they're building Legos, you sit down and do Legos with them. If they're doing something with Thomas the Train, you do that with them. It's just so powerful. Before we move into questions, and thank you so much, Maya, for emphasizing special time. I really appreciate that. I just wanted to add a few more really simple practical tips here that can be helpful. So one thing that you could do if you have a young child who is going to school for the first time, or even if a child is going through a transition from one school to another, is help them get ready for school by packing, by planning enough time that you can help them figure out what they want in their school bags on that first day. So go buy a school bag if they don't have one, or if the old one's wearing out, buy a new one. And then think about what one or two special things that they want to take in their bag with them that they can share with a new friend or with their teacher when they go to school that first day. That's something that can help them look forward to doing something when they go to school. Carry something that is special to them, maybe a picture of a favorite pet or a tiny little toy or a little book that they really love. Whatever it is, have them take that in their bag, maybe more than just one thing even. You don't want to let it get out of hand, of course, but it can really help them engage in the process of looking forward to going to school. So that can be just a simple little practical tip that can be helpful. The other thing I would recommend is giving them a chance to say goodbye to something. If they're moving from one school to another, have them say goodbye to the old school. If they're moving from home to a school for the first time, they can go to each room and say, goodbye, I'll see you in the evening. You can just make a little ritual out of that, a little ceremony. And that whole, anytime you make a ceremony out of a transition, something happens in how we perceive that, I've noticed. You know, if you, there's a reason that ceremonies all over the world for big transitions like marriage, coming of age, you know, in the Jewish tradition, there's bar mitzvah and all that. So every time there's a big transition in life, if you have a ceremony that goes with it, then it eases the transition. And so add a little ceremony to the transition of going from home to school. It can be really simple, but allow the child to get engaged with that transition process. And give children some time to just have some downtime. And so if you carve out that time and plan it well, like Maya said, allowing yourself to have those 5 minutes in the morning, which simply means you wake up 5 minutes earlier, or whatever you need 5 minutes for in the morning, whatever task you do in the morning that requires 5 minutes, do that task the previous day. Making little adjustments to your schedule can make a big difference to how your morning goes. And in the afternoon, when you're doing special time, you don't allow any interactions. If the phone rings, you don't take the phone. If somebody rings the doorbell, you don't answer it. You definitely don't want to get on your smartphone and start looking at things there. Your mind is on your child when you're doing special time. So allowing yourself to give that special attention to your child can make a very big difference. Special time and listening partnerships. If you do just those two alone, then the rest of the tools will come together more easily. Yeah? Those two legs of the three-legged stool, we call it, are really, really important legs. So go out there and practice these tools and let us know how it goes. But now I'm ready to take some questions. So I'm going to open up the line. What I'm going to do is ask you to press *2 if you have a question. So if you have a question, once again, press *2, and I'll open up your line. Okay, I have a hand raised here from Fairfield, Connecticut. Hi, your line is open.
Hi, yeah, it's Dan.
Hi, Dan.
So I love these ideas, and I do them with my daughters. I wonder if you could make any recommendations as far as being with a partner or spouse who doesn't, you know, fully buy in to these ideas, like overall, and also, you know, and with things like special time, is it okay to sort of set limits to say we can't play with those things because, you know, mom doesn't want us to play with, you know, her thing. We're not going to play with her things, you know, as far as special time. So we're not going to break anything. We're not going to. You know, so that's specific to special time, but also just in general with, you know, the idea of stay listening and play listening and special time. If you're with someone who doesn't fully buy in, how would you recommend handling that?
How do you handle that? So with regard to setting limits during special time, we actually do talk about this during our BEU class, but very simply put, to the extent you can, avoid setting limits unless it's absolutely necessary, but you can set certain kinds of limits. If your child wants to go out to a place that requires 10 minutes of driving and you only have 5 minutes of special time, then clearly you can't do that. There are certain limits that do need to be set. So if in your situation your wife doesn't want her things to be touched during special time, then you honor that and set that as a limit and go forward. You don't have to necessarily explain anything to your child. you can just say, today we're not going to do special time with those things. You can have special time with anything else you'd like to do. You don't want to create, you don't want to say anything that might turn the child away from the mom in the process, because that relationship is also precious, so you have to be very careful how you put that as well.
Okay.
Now, if your spouse doesn't buy into this, perhaps what's happened is that they've had some difficulties with their own experiences, and what you can do is simply start listening to them as if you're in a listening partnership. That's one way. And just pay attention to their feelings and see how that goes over time, and have them observe the changes afterwards by, you know, making, oh, wow, he looks nice and calm right now. I'm so glad that we're able to do this together, go out to a restaurant together now that she's calmed down, or whatever it is we're trying to do together. So there will be times when your wife will have a chance to observe you. It's much better not to tell somebody what to do. It's better if they're able to observe how what you're doing is working. It's better if you're able to listen to their feelings and have them slowly get used to the ideas of parenting by connection. It's really, it works against your goal if you try to persuade them in any way, unless it's within.
Right, and just as a little carry, what happens when I'm sort of with my daughter, but, you know, my wife will interrupt what I'm trying to do, like, in the moment.
Yeah, do you have a specific example?
Well, just, you know, whereas I would allow, you know, my daughter to fully express her feelings, to get them out, she may want to, you know, distract or in some ways, you know, shut down the feelings. Not necessarily by telling her, don't cry, but, you know, say, you know, things like, oh, do you want to look at this? Or do you want to look, oh, here's something we can do. You know, basically suppressing the feelings rather than letting them fully get out.
Yeah. So there's, in the moment, it might be hard to do anything right there in the moment, but you can then keep your eyes and ears open for the next time a child has big feelings, and maybe there's a time when your wife is not around to have those feelings released. But the other thing to do is perhaps, and I'm not an expert in marriage counseling or anything, but one thing that occurs to me is that if you have a chance later on to just open up a gentle conversation by saying, well, it sounds like that was hard for you listening to your child, to our child's cry, right? And if you just say that one, make that one tiny observation, opening up, inviting her to say more, being very open and about it, not necessarily, you know, being very clear about it either. You can keep it very vague. It sounds like it was really hard, huh? And see what she says.
Okay.
And
thank
if,
you.
Yeah. If she has complaints about you, listen to those complaints, and then just see where you can go with that. But this is a longer conversation, I think, for that situation.
Right.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Maya, did you have anything to add to that? I'll unmute yourself if you have something to add. Otherwise, we'll move on.
So, Usha, people might want to check out there's a really good article on the website called, I think it's Parenting from Different Pages.
Yeah.
Parenting from the Same Page. Yeah. So that would be a really good one to check out, and it just helps you think about, you know, it usually is the case that parents are using these tools in different ways or different levels or have different feelings about, you know, about using these tools. And so I think that article is a really, really nice one to just read about how you kind of approach that within your relationship.
Right. And actually it is called Parenting from Different Pages. You're right. I had forgotten about that. And there's another one called Partnering Well as Parents, Partnering Well in Parenting. So those are articles to look out for. The way you get to the articles is to go on our website and click on I think parenting advice, go under the parenting advice column and look for the complete article list, and you'll find all our articles there.
Great. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Great. Okay, you know, I think it's close to, I think it's time to end our call right now. It's close to 6. So I'm going to close by just sharing with you some of the things that we have to offer. Hand in Hand has a whole number of different offerings. We have a few more teleseminars that are coming up. There's one on August 28th at 6 o'clock in the night, Pacific time. And that one is Helping Your Child with Separation Anxiety. I think one of our callers was very specifically interested in that. So I think you would find that particular talk very, very helpful. The second one is, and so that's next week at 6 o'clock Pacific time, August 28th. The second teleseminar that's coming up is on September 13th, and it's at 10 a.m. Pacific time. It's on special needs parenting. And so you'll find if you have any special needs issues in your families, let's say you have a child on the autism spectrum or a child who has a learning difference, you'll find that call very helpful. If you want to learn all of these skills more deeply, we offer a 6-week-long class. It's an instructor-led class. It's called Building Emotional Understanding. This is our signature class. It has received great reviews, and it's really the best way to learn about our approach. The classes are really small. The maximum size is 6 participants. You will receive personalized attention. And our instructors are raring to offer these classes. So if you sign up, we will have opportunities to go more deeply into these tools. We haven't scheduled the fall classes yet, so stay tuned. There'll be a lot more classes coming up in September and up to October real soon. And I'll be the one scheduling them, so I know this is going to happen. So also, if you're looking for even more personalized attention, or if you're having a specific issue you're trying to resolve, then you can go one-on-one with our experienced instructors and get a consultation. And you have the undivided attention of or an experienced instructor who can really personalize the suggestions that they have for you, listen to your situation, and so on. We also have a really cool series of self-paced, self-guided classes, and it's called the Parent Rescue Series. There's one called No More Hitting, although the name has recently changed, and it has the word aggression in it. For some reason, it's not coming to mind the actual name of it. Setting Limits and Building Cooperation is the other one. And the third one is How to Help Your Child with Sleep. And then there's Taming Sibling Rivalry. So that's the fourth one. There's also another one that's come out recently. It's called, it's about listening partnerships, actually. And it's really an amazing, it's a particularly amazing one because it's got a lot of really rich content in there. It's called Building a Listening Partnership, Easing the Stress of Parenting. Yes, and the one that used to be called No More Hitting is now called Helping Your Child with Aggression. That's the name I found it. And so, so those are some of the tools that we have to offer. We also have classes for professionals, therapists, nurses, psychologists. Maya Coleman, who was on the call talking with us just now a few minutes ago, is also a psychologist by profession. And she and a few other people, Robin Sechko, are trained in offering this class called the Professionals Intensive. And we're offering that this fall. You can find information about that on our website. So even if you're not a professional, if you can direct any professionals you know towards this website, people you're interacting with, people whom your children may be interacting with, let's say there are school counselors, you might want to direct your school counselors to information about this class. They'll find it really helpful as well. So by all means, just share this information with anyone whom you think would be interested. And finally, I want to add that Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we totally depend on your donation to provide free services like this one. This is a free call. There are many articles on our website that are free. The whole parent discussion group is free. We have scholarships for classes, and we have scholarships for our instructor training program. And it's really easy to donate. So there's a button on our website through which you can easily donate. So any amount will help. So just click on the donate button on the website and give whatever you can. Together we can support parents everywhere across the world. And so with that, I'd like to wrap up this call. I want to thank you for being with us today, and I hope you've had a chance to get some good ideas here and you've enjoyed the teleseminar today. It's been wonderful to have you. Thank you for your question. And if you have any other questions, feel free to email me. You can reach me at Usha, USHA, @handinhandparenting.org. All right? Have a great evening or morning if you're in another part of the world. And we'll see you again soon. Bye.